Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
The start of what is likely to be a competitive race for Buffalo mayor is underway following a Tuesday afternoon ceremony at the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center. That's where an estimated crowd of 1,000 people gathered to see acting mayor Chris Scanlon take the oath of office and offer a message of inclusiveness.
During my time as council president, I prepared in a way that focused on every section of the city. I worked with my colleagues on the Common Council to better understand the needs of their districts. I attended countless public meetings and events of organizations, community-based organizations, and heard directly from residents.
The event took several weeks after Scanlon was elevated to his new role after Byron Brown resigned to run Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation. While Scanlon is expected to seek a full four-year term as mayor in 2025, other candidates, including State Senator Sean Ryan and former Buffalo Fire Commissioner Garnell Whitfield, are likely to join the field. The rising cost of local real estate continues to make headlines. The Erie County Clerk's Office reports two commercial deals worth over $1 million were recorded recently in West Seneca and Cheektowaga. Dallas-based NS Retail Holdings paid $2 million for the Take 5 oil change location at 1940 Ridge Road, while the Burger King restaurant at 4199 Union Road sold for $1.7 million to BMK Realty out of Brockport. A pro-business coalition is calling for major change in state government after the Tax Foundation ranked New York dead last in competitiveness. In a release, the group Upstate United says the grade adds to the bad news for New York State, which is leading the country in population loss, with a reported 600,000 residents moving out in the last 4 years. Upstate United Executive Director Justin Wilcox released a statement calling on state leaders to, quote, prioritize affordability and enact broad-based tax relief. A Dunkirk ice cream manufacturer will utilize a package of tax incentives as it continues to expand. Wells Enterprises, the maker of Blue Bunny, Bomb Pop, and other ice cream novelties, is expected to add 270 new jobs, bringing its workforce to 380 full-time employees. The Chautauqua County Industrial Agency approved a payment in lieu of taxes or pilot agreement and a sales tax exemption for the company's Phase 3 expansion project. Officials say the company has committed to investing $500 million in Chautauqua County over the past 5 years. And discount air carrier Allegiant Airlines is adding another route from Niagara Falls International Airport. Starting on May 22nd, Allegiant will fly from Niagara Falls to Myrtle Beach. During the peak travel season, Allegiant averages around 125 flights per month out of Niagara Falls, with many of its customers coming from southern Ontario. Prices are continuing to surge in the Erie County real estate market. WBFO's Jim Fink takes a closer look.
Since January 1st, 71 Erie County homes have sold for more than $1 million. That's right, 71 homes selling for more than $1 million. That has set a new benchmark for sales in the decidedly upper-end homes within the county. The sales of homes going for more than $1 million is considered a key economic indicator within the residential real estate industry. And consider this. Just in an 8-day business cycle between late October and early November, 8 homes sold for more than $1 million. Given the uncertain economy and higher interest rates, the flurry of $1 million plus sales is very eye-opening, says Hunt Real Estate's Michelle Weiner.
So I put it towards the job growth and strategically pricing and having the higher buyer interest. Today, they're selling less than 20 days.
According to the Buffalo Niagara Association Realtors ML system, there are 32 homes in Erie County listed with sale prices of more than $1 million. That's about 2% of the overall 1,231 current listings in the ML system. The homes include ones in Buffalo, Clarence, Amherst, and Orchard Park.
It's just beginning. I think there's a lot of folks. We're so low in inventory. The inventory that seems to be growing is the higher-end homes. They're definitely spending a lot of time, you know, bringing it up to today's market.
And consider, according to BNR stats, the average home in its system is selling for $290,687. That's up about 7% from last year's average of $271,893. Just in October alone, the average sale price of a listed house was $301,946. This is Jim Fink for WBFO News.
Hi, I'm Emily Watkins, and this is the WBFO Disabilities Beat. More than 7 million Americans have some form of vision loss or are blind, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But despite so many people living with a vision disability, many barriers exist to just getting around your community. Recently, I spoke with Chris Minkler, the president of the Buffalo chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, about some of the barriers Western New Yorkers who are blind or low vision face in accessing public transportation. This conversation has been edited for length and clarity.
Paratransit is transportation for people with disabilities. It's run by the NFTA, the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority. You have to apply and contact the paratransit office at 716-855-7239, and you have to be approved for service. It's $4 a trip, or if you get the card, which covers 20 trips, it comes out to $3.50 a trip. They go to many locations throughout Erie and Niagara County, and I use paratransit frequently. I know many people who use paratransit.
What are some of the barriers with paratransit? I know you have to schedule in advance. I know it does not go everywhere.
You do have to schedule in advance. You can't call the same day as your trip. You can call the day before or a couple days before or a week before. And currently, it will only go up to 3/4 of a mile from a bus line. So where you're being picked up from and where your destination must be within 3/4 of a mile from any bus line. So there's a bill in the state Senate and Assembly that, if it passed, would extend that service to up to 3 miles from a bus line. So this, if it passed, would allow us to go to more job sites or doctor's appointments, shopping, a variety of places, because under the current restriction, there are some places that we can't go through paratransit. So we have to go to where it would drop us off and then get a ride from Uber or a cab or somewhere else to get to the rest of the distance.
And are Uber and Lyft always reliable for you?
No, there have been issues with Uber, particularly from guide dog users being denied trips. And we're having a big protest in San Francisco for this issue.
Why are people being denied trips? Because they have a guide dog? Are people thinking that it's just a pet or they don't want a dog in their car?
I think a lot of drivers just don't want to have a dog in their car, and they'll just deny the rider. We have complained about this, and Uber has a policy that if that happens, they'll investigate and the driver will be taken off their service. But unfortunately, this does continue to happen with Uber.
Have there been any places you personally haven't been able to go because of paratransit's restrictions?
Yes, mainly because of the time restriction. Depending on where you live, I live in Williamsville, so I can only receive service up to a certain time, up to 6 p.m. So in the evening, there are places I can't go. And also on the weekends, I can't receive service. So it really depends on where you live in Erie or Niagara County, on where you can go and what times you can go.
And I know that Stephanie Speaker has been working for years on expanding paratransit. So it would go, instead of 3/4 of a mile, 3 miles beyond a mainline route. And I know that a lot of advocates have been pushing for extended service hours, same day scheduling. Mm-hmm. For you, what do you think the biggest priority is right now?
Extending the service. So they may have to hire more drivers and get more vehicles, but extending that service would allow us to get to more locations, to more job sites, doctor's appointments, shopping, variety of places. That would help a great deal if we could extend the service.
So the distance is really the biggest issue at this moment.
Yes.
In general, like, what kind of advocacy has NFB been doing in relation to paratransit?
We go to Albany every year, and this has been one of our recent priorities in the state Senate and Assembly. This year, there was a bill in the state Senate sponsored by Senator Kennedy when he was a senator, and now is sponsored by Senator Jeremy Cooney from Rochester. He's the chairman of the Transportation Committee in the New York State Senate, and in the Assembly, sponsored by Assemblymember Steck. And so we've been doing advocacy work. We had both in-person and Zoom meetings in March of this year, and we were able to see over 100 senators and assembly members and their staff.
You can listen to the Disabilities Beat segment on demand, view a transcript and plain language description for every episode on our website at wbfo.org.
The Buffalo Sabres begin their California road trip tonight. Plus, we recap St. Bonaventure women's basketball's thrilling win over Canisius from last night and the first installment of the Wednesday Whip Around. I'm Jack Cruiser. This is The Scoreboard for Wednesday, November 20th. This episode of The Scoreboard has been edited for length. The full version is available at WBFO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. St. Bonaventure women's basketball erased a 12-point halftime deficit to spoil the Canisius Golden Griffins home opener, winning 66-63 last night. Former Griff Danny Haskell was lights out in the second half, scoring 20 of her 29 points after the Bonnies went to the locker room in the largest hole of the evening. The Griffs were up 36-24 at the break, but then while the Bonnies started converting in the third quarter, Canisius abandoned the post play and took a handful of irresponsible threes. That allowed the Bonnies to crawl back and eventually take the lead in just 8 minutes. Once the fourth quarter began, it was the Danny Haskell show, though, as she scored the final 10 Bonnie points, giving the brown and white a 3-point lead. With 10 seconds left in the game, Haskell was blocked in the lane, and Canisius took possession with one shot to try and force overtime. At the buzzer, the right wing three from Griff's junior Miriam Sonogo went around the rim and out. With the win, St. Bonaventure balances their record, now at 2-2, and head home to Olean to host Colgate on Saturday. Canisius drops their record to 1-3 to open the season. They host their Big Four rivals, the Buffalo Bulls, on Friday night at 6 p.m. The Buffalo Sabres hope for good news on the injury front as they begin a 3-game California road trip tonight in Los Angeles. Ever since the third period of the Sabres' loss to Montreal back on November 11th, Buffalo has played without three key pieces: their first-line centerman, Tage Thompson, defenseman Matias Samuelson, and their starting goalie, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. The collapse that period leading to the loss versus Montreal, plus their weak showing in a 5-2 loss at Philadelphia, negates almost entirely their overtime win over St. Louis, which sandwiched the two losses. In Philly, Jordan Greenway was out of the lineup for Buffalo, adding to the injury list. As the Sabres head out west, they've made some roster moves and hope for some better news as the day progresses. Going back to last week, Thursday's overtime win over St. Louis, Coach Lindy Ruff mentioned to the team postgame their emphasis on not losing two games in a row. Buffalo takes on the LA Kings tonight with that same goal in mind. The Sabres lost to the Kings 2-1 back in October in Buffalo's home opener. Puck drop from Los Angeles is set for 10:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. Time for a new segment where we briefly check in with Western New York's college basketball teams and what you may have missed in the last week. This is the Wednesday Whip Around. Starting with the Division I level, the UB Bulls women's basketball team is 4-0 to open the season, coming off a 20-point win over Division II Cedarville on Monday. UB takes on the Big Four in the next week at Canisius and Niagara before hosting St. Bonaventure. The St. Bonaventure Bonnies men's team is 4-0 with wins over Canisius, Florida Gulf Coast, and most recently Lemoyne. The Bonnies host Division II Mansfield tonight at 7 p.m. before welcoming Bryant to Olean on Sunday afternoon. The Canisius Golden Griffins men's basketball team are 0-6, playing through some tough competition to start the year. Losses at top 10 ranked Arizona and most recently at Maryland last night. The Griffs host Brown University on Saturday. The Niagara women's team is 0-4 with three losses to Power 4 opponents at Syracuse, ranked West Virginia, and Penn State. Niagara hosts Cleveland State tomorrow night before taking on the UB Bulls next Tuesday. Moving to the Division II level, the Damon Wildcats men are 3-0, and that doesn't include their exhibition win over UB in late October. The Wildcats' most recent win was over top 11-ranked Charleston. Damon takes on two more teams receiving votes in the national poll within the next week, at Post on Saturday, and then at home against California of Pennsylvania next Tuesday night. The DeUville Saints men's basketball team is 2-3, coming off their first win at home this year, beating Bit Johnston by 4 points earlier this week. The Saints host Lake Erie College on Sunday at the Saint Center Gym. This has been The Scoreboard for Wednesday, November 20th. I'm Jack Cruiser for WBFO Sports.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.